All right, GM everyone. Welcome to another community AMA. Looks like we have a bunch of questions today. This is our first AMA since we've announced Sandglass. So now everyone knows what we've been building. And so we'll be having our community AMAs both for Lifinity and for Sandglass, since both are being built by the same team. So yeah, we already have a bunch of questions, and a lot of them are Sandglass related. So that's great to see. I guess I'll just get right to the questions. Just checking that everyone can hear all right. Yeah, everything looks okay. All right, so let's get started. Let's see, where am I? All right, first question we have from Otto. Otto says, how is Lifinity handling the influx of interest resulting from Sandglass? And has it been a big chance or a big change or relatively calm? Specifically, how is it changing Lifinity's strategy, if at all? And does the level of interest match or exceed the bullishness of the community towards Sandglass? Yeah, so when you say the influx of interest, I guess there's like there's a few different forms of interest. So one type is interest in using the app. Right now, the interest to use the app is still relatively low, and that's probably mainly because we still only support one asset. So right now we just have a MSOL vault, and there's been some volume on it, but not a lot. I don't think there's a ton of demand to trade it, and probably not for LSDs in general, since their yield is not that volatile. The picture could change when we introduce support for things like points for LSDs that have things like that, or also just like token rewards. So like right now Marinade is considering a season 3 for their MNDE rewards, and that includes rewards for just holding MSOL. So if and when we get integrated with that, if and when they launch a season 3, then you can expect there to be more trading volume, or like Soul Blaze has BLZE rewards just for holding BSOL and using it in DeFi and stuff. They're also coming out with this Embers thing, which I actually don't know what that is, but sounds like that's going to be revealed soon. And let's see, Jito Soul. They don't give rewards just for holding Jito Soul, but they might be willing to provide some incentives to use Jito Soul in Sandglass separately. Actually, yeah, same for Soul Blaze and Marinade. They might be willing to as well. And then of course there's Sanctum and their INF LSD. And sounds like they might have points or token rewards or something like that. So yeah, like once all that gets figured out and integrated, volumes, there might be much more interest. We'll see. And yeah, obviously it's not just LSTs that have yield that can be traded, so yeah. But yeah, for the time being, so there's not much of that interest. A lot of the interest in terms of like the questions we've been getting is definitely regarding like is there going to be an airdrop? What's the relationship with Lifinity and things of that nature. And that like is something we haven't fully determined yet, so there's like not much for us to share. So how have we handled it? we've kind of just, I mean, that's we just say that, what I just said. Like, we still haven't figured it out, so no info to share. Let's see. And then, like, behind the scenes, there's like tons of people reaching out asking to invest in some form of like non-public round. To which we've always replied that we're not raising because we've already like we're funded from the VEIDO as well as the ongoing revenue from Lifinity's DEX. So yeah, I think those are the three forms of interest that we've that have come across, some more frequently than others. Let's see. Yeah. And then second part of your question, let's see, you say, how is it changing Lifinity's strategy, if at all, and does the level of interest match or exceed the bullishness of the community towards SandGlass? I mean, I'm not sure what the level of bullishness of the community towards SandGlass is. Like, I think a lot of people are excited about it because they think, like we do, that having a pendle on Solana is important. It's something that other protocols will definitely find useful and users will definitely find useful. It gives an avenue for people to trade yield. So, and then, you know, like right now, pendle is doing really well because all these points, especially on like restaking stuff, is like really exploding, which results in them getting a lot of volume. So you can imagine like something similar could happen on Solana, not with regards to like restaking, although that's not an impossibility in the future, but more so just like protocols with points and yield in one form or another. Let's see. Yeah, so our strategy will be a bit different from Lifinity. With Lifinity, it's not important that we advertise people use our app, because if people use Jupiter, then they just end up using our app naturally, even if they don't know it. And similarly for like arbitragers, maybe they're not using Jupiter, but if they want to optimize their arbitrage trades, then they want to have access to all the DEXs, including ours. So, you know, they'll integrate us naturally. And there's like really no need for us to like advertise any of that or like educate people or anything. With SandGlass, I mean, we've talked about this in the introductory articles, but it kind of requires a different approach because there currently is no yield trading market on Solana. We're kind of the beginning of it. And like people on Solana, a lot of them anyways, are not familiar with the concept of yield trading. Some are because they've experienced it on Ethereum, but I think that's relatively rare and most people aren't. I guess there's also people who are like familiar with it conceptually, but I've never actually done it. So yeah, there's like varying levels of familiarity. And so education is definitely a big part of making SandGlass successful. And also like raising awareness, because unlike Lifinity, in our case, we do need people to come to our platform to trade. So yeah, I think there will be different approaches, or the approaches will be different for sure. We haven't ramped up that kind of stuff yet. because there's not much to trade on Sandglass yet. So yeah, I think it'll be pretty gradual. Until perhaps it won't, it isn't, you know, like there very well could be like a point where like there's just this one asset where it just like really works super well, and then suddenly there's a ton of people using Sandglass, but or not. It could just be like a gradual increase, just adding users one by one. Yeah, we don't really know, but yeah, anyways, the strategies for how to gain adoption are definitely different. Okay, next question we have K57. He asks, can you summarize the links between Lifinity and Sandglass? What impact does this new protocol have on XLifinity and VELifinity holders? Let's see. So I kind of talked about this in the previous question, but there's a lot that we still haven't determined. What we do know is that we built Sandglass with funding from the VEIDO and ongoing revenue from the DEX. So in other words, you can basically say that we've been funded by VELifinity holders, essentially. So yeah, I mean that should tell you something about like the directionality of our approach that we'll eventually figure out. Or in other words, this isn't like totally separate, and it's not as if like the Lifinity community will get nothing out of it. It's just that we still don't know what form exactly that will take. So that's where like I really have not much to say right now. So yeah. I understand that people just want an answer, so that they can figure out like basically figure out whether they should, one, buy more Lifinity, and two, whether they should try to farm an airdrop. But yeah, really no answers at this point, so yeah, you're just gonna have to speculate, I guess. All right, Scorch asks, any ETA on when new Sandglass vaults will be added? No schedule. We're working on them. Because our approach is different from Pendle's. Actually, you know, I listened to a podcast by the founder of Pendle recently, and they said that even their approach requires a lot of manual work to open new pools, which I wasn't aware of. I thought it was basically just like figuring out the range in which to concentrate, but maybe they need to do more beyond that as well. But in our case, we need to figure out the range, but also we need to build the custom infrastructure to do the pool price updates. That you like, it's similar to an oracle, but I'm not sure if calling it an oracle is like exactly accurate. Like so, for example, in MSOL's case, Marinade has. They post on-chain data for how much yield was accrued in the previous epoch. And so then our smart contracts look at that and then update the price that we concentrate the pool around. I forgot why I was talking about that. Oh yeah, so that requires a bunch of work. And each token has like a different way of doing that. Like Marinade has their own way, then Jito has their own way, and Soulblaze has their own way. And then Sanctum doesn't even have a way, so we have to create a custom one ourselves. Stuff like this. So it requires a bunch of manual work. So yeah, that's why it can take a while. So yeah, no ETA, but we're working on it. Time for my sip before I start coughing. All right. Taste asks, so we've heard we have our own Oracle. I think he's talking about Lifinity. Is this a on-chain Oracle, or is it collecting data off-chain and adjusting the parameters of the pool from off-chain data? So, when you say, or when you ask whether the Oracle is on-chain or not, I mean, I think all oracles are on-chain, but at the same time, all oracles first get their data off-chain. I mean, that's like the whole point of oracles, right? It's a way to access data that's not on-chain, or you're putting off-chain data onto the chain and then using it. And so it's the same with our Oracle. So like with Pith, you have a bunch of data publishers who publish their prices on the chain, and then the Pith algorithm aggregates those into one price and one confidence interval. And then they publish that, and then we use that. So when we do our own Oracle, it's similar, except that there's no need to aggregate because it's just us. It's just one person taking off-chain data, putting it on chain. And the reason we put it on chain is simply so like our smart contracts can use it. And then based on that data, yeah, we determine the price that our pool trades at. And yeah. So I hope that answers your question. Yeah, basically it's pretty similar to Pith, except that instead of many data publishers, it's just us. Alfro says Pith Oracles update. So I think they're referring to the fact that we recently had to stop our Pith pools because they were not working well. The Solana chain has been quite congested, and that resulted in the Pith oracles having trouble updating in a timely manner. And when they don't update fast enough, they become when they update slower, it means either we just don't trade, or if we do trade, we're more likely to get front run. So yeah, it's not good for us. And so we determined that it's probably just better for us to shut off the pools for the time being, which we did. And that's why Taste was referring to our own oracles, because some of our pools use our own oracles instead of Pith's oracle. And those are still open. And it turns out that the pools using our own oracle, especially our sole oracle, which is then like can be used also for staked sole pools like MSOL, BSOL, JiroSOL, and such. It can be used for those as well. So our sole oracle is very important. And that accounts for, yeah, the pools using our own oracles account for about 94% of our revenue. But yeah, so update on the Pith oracles. It turns out they're still not doing well, even though the chain has improved somewhat. If you go to Pith's site where they list all their oracles. You can look at the individual ones, and you can look at like how frequently they're updating. It'll show like even for the soul oracle, which is like their you could argue like their main one. I think it probably has like the most publishers. Actually, I'm not 100% sure about that. Maybe it's like BTC or ETH, but Sol's like up there, right? It's definitely one of the major, if not the main oracle. And even that one is having tons of trouble. You can see like the those warning signs where it's like a triangle with a exclamation mark in it next to the price updates. And so even that one is still struggling. So yeah. Yeah, so we can't turn them back on yet. Hopefully after 1.18 goes live and the new scheduler is released, that makes a meaningful difference. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Okay, next question we have King of the North asks, let's see, he's quoting probably one of our articles. It says, importantly, SandGlass does not charge fees on the yield generated. This results in a considerably lower hurdle for trader profitability compared to Pendle's model, which charges a 3% fee on all yield. And then now he's speaking, says, where will SandGlass charge fees then? If nowhere, what's the plan for revenue generation? Yeah, so revenue for us will come from trading fees. I actually don't know like what percent of Pendle's revenue comes from the 3% of the yield. And what percent comes from trading fees? But we thought about this from first principles, and we think it doesn't make a ton of sense. So like when you charge a fee on the yield, this has two effects that I think are strange. One is that you're charging YT holders, but you're not charging PT holders. Because the YT holders have the yield, right? So they get charged that. But then the PT holders don't get charged. So that seems strange, because why should YT holders be disadvantaged over PT holders? It's not clear to me. And the other thing is, when you charge a fee on the yield, that means you're charging LPs as well. So that means just by providing liquidity, you're being charged a fee. So that creates a disincentive to provide liquidity, which seems suboptimal. Like you want to lower that barrier as much as possible. You don't want to disincentivize LPs from providing liquidity. You want to have the most liquidity as possible, because that will attract more traders when you have good liquidity, and that will result in more trading fees. So it kind of seems strange to charge a fee on the yield. It's also like, it's not something you see anywhere else in DeFi. So yeah, I'm not sure like what their rationale is. They might have just done it from the start as an experiment, and then like no one complained. So like and now it just like stayed that way. I don't know. It seems to be working for them, which is fine, but I think it's much simpler and straightforward and makes more sense for us to not have that fee. and instead just like focus on the trading fees and adjusting that. And I mean, like that's pretty standard, right? I mean, like it's how AMMs work. No AMM charges a yield on the fee or a fee on the yield. And I guess because they're, you know, this is a yield trading AMM, they're charging a fee on the yield. But I mean, spot AMMs are for trading price. Like what if, you know, spot AMMs charged a fee on the price increase or something? That'd be pretty interesting. I mean, I guess they can't do that for like for non-LPs because like if you buy SOL with USDC and then the price goes up, like you own the SOL and SOL has nothing to do. It's not an asset that's native to the DEX. It's just like Solana's asset, right? So they can't like they can't charge you on that. Whereas like PTNYT are native to the yield trading protocol, so that's why you can like charge a fee on that. But you can't do that with normal assets. But you could do that to LPs. And so like, you know, suppose you're an LP for SOL USDC and then the price of SOL 2x's and you're charging a 3% fee on the price increase of SOL. Like, well, SOL went from $100 to $200, increased $100 or 100%. So 3% fee on that, we're going to take $3 from like the LPs. Like that sounds kind of crazy, right? So I mean, yeah. So anyways, it's not super clear to us like why you would charge that fee, other than just because you can or something like that. But we're a new AMM, so yeah, we think it makes more sense to just lower the hurdle and yeah, charge fees where it makes sense in a reasonable way. Okay. Next questions we have from TMS. Question number one, apart from other developments, are you working on a V3 for the Liquidity pools? For instance, to target increased liquidity dynamics relating to meme coins? So no, we're not working on a V3. Let us know if you have a genius idea. Meme coins. I mean, like, I don't know how you would improve it while mitigating risk. Like you just need a really good idea, right? The problem with meme coins, as I see it, is often a lot of the price discovery is happening on chain. And as you probably know, if you're already familiar with Liquidity, if price discovery is happening on chain, then we have no advantage. The reason Liquidity works well is because for many assets, price discovery is happening on centralized exchanges. And that's where the Oracle gets its price from. And so we're reflecting that price, the price discovery price, and then trading that on decentralized exchanges where price discovery isn't happening for the most part. So like it's difficult to profitably market make for these meme coins. Yeah. So yeah, unless somebody has a genius idea, which please let us know. We're not currently working on a V3. Second question, what are the biggest risks for Liquidity at the moment? I mean, no change from what I've talked about previously. Let's see. So one is like we have competitors, of course, and these are mainly market makers on order books. Right now, primarily Phoenix. So they're able to create strategies that are similar to Lifinity's, although, like, of course, they're executed very differently because they're on an order book. But like they're essentially also looking at prices on centralized exchanges, and they're quoting similar to like what the quotes are on centralized exchanges. So yeah, there's competition there. That's one risk. Another one is like the Pith Oracle, even though like it's a small part of our revenue, it is like really nice to have because they just like published oracles and like we don't have to handle any of that or like pay for price updates on chain or anything. So yeah, there's definitely like a reliance there, and as we've seen recently, like Pith has struggled to make timely updates to the Oracle, so there's that. What else? I think those are the main ones. There might be some others that I am not thinking of right now, but yeah, those are the ones that come to mind. Third question. Due to the high performance of the pools and the resulting funds, Lifinity is becoming a more attractive or is becoming more attractive for scammers, etc. Are the funds SEIFU? Yes, the funds are SEIFU. I get what you're saying, but actually I might challenge it in that I actually don't know the numbers, but it's very possible that we used to have higher TVL because V2 is very capital efficient. You might remember like back when V2 just started, you could look at like the liquidity that was in V2 and the liquidity that was in the V1 pools, and V2 had like a lot less and yet was doing more volume. So like we have a lot of idle liquidity now. And yeah, so yeah, again, like I'm not sure about the exact numbers, but in my mind at least, like it's very possible that we had higher TVL back when we just had V1. So in that sense, like it's not necessarily more attractive to scammers. And then also like in a bull market, there's a lot of ways for people to make money, and that includes scammers. And scammers can make money in non-scammy ways too, right? They can farm points and all that good stuff as well. And so like there's an opportunity cost to like executing a scam because you could be spending that time elsewhere trying to earn money in other ways. But in a bear market, there's fewer such opportunities, and so like there's a smaller opportunity cost, and so you're more incentivized to scam. So, and right now like we're in a bull market, so you could argue that they're actually more incentivized to look into like hacking Lifinity back in the bear market. So yeah, I wouldn't say that like we're at greater risk necessarily. Yeah, I don't see any reason why we would be. I guess it's also worth mentioning that in our Sandglass article we mentioned that we got the X-ray automated audit of the Sandglass program. And when we did that, we also did the same for Lifinity. So Lifinity also underwent the X-ray audit and had no problems. So Yeah, that was pretty recent. So in that sense, like, I guess that's another vote of confidence. All right, question number four. Are you working on partnerships for additional pools for Sandglass? Yeah, I mean, that's like the number one priority for Sandglass right now is like we just need more pools, right? Because we just have one. Yeah, I think there's people who want to use or who would want to use Sandglass if it had the assets they're interested in. It's just that we don't support them yet, so. Yeah, and then I mean, like, I guess supporting pools and having a partnership maybe means something different. Not sure which exactly you meant, but yeah, working on supporting more pools, and then also we're working on partnerships where they might provide some kind of incentive for using those pools, whether that's trading or providing liquidity or whatever. Details yet to be determined, but yeah, definitely looking into that kind of stuff because I think it will be, or yeah, it definitely could be very important for Sandglass. Alrighty, moving on to a promino. Question number one. When looking at the Lipinity stats page, there are some pools that have 0 7-day volume. Is this correct or a bug? Those are the Pith pools for which we stopped trading. So, no, it's not a bug. It is correct. Question number two. Are we testing the Mu USDC pool because the on-chain volume is very high? We're not because that is a Pith Oracle pool, and yeah, Pith is still not stable at all. And if you recall, like even when Pith was stable, it would often have trouble with certain meme coins. In terms of update frequency, like I think Wen was one of those tokens where, a lot it looked promising on a lot of metrics, including volume and liquidity on other DEXs. And Pith released an oracle, but if you look at the oracle's page, you'll see that like the updates are quite spotty, and so it's difficult to use profitably. So yeah, even if recovers back to where it used to be, certain pools might still have difficulty. We'll just have to see. And yeah, look at it on a case-by-case basis. Question number three, how is the progress of LifSol? So we provided all the information needed to Sanctum. So now we're just waiting on them. I would imagine they have a lot of projects wanting to create LSTs for their validator. So I'm not sure where we are in that queue, but yeah, we're basically done on our side, just waiting for them. All right. Next question is from Snow. I saw new ELS protocol are coming to Solana. ELS protocol. I don't know what that means. Maybe we could have a point farming on Sandglass, just like Pendle did with Renzo, Swell, etc. It could be a good way to bring users. It's like free reward that could incentivize people to use Sandglass. Yeah. I wonder if you mean by ELS, like LRTs, liquid restaking tokens. I mean, like, there's no liquid restaking on Solana yet, but and I think part of the reason that works well is because these LRTs command quite high, fully diluted values. And so, their points result in also having, like, or people pe at least perceive them as going to have a high value, and so they like bid them up on Pendle. Anyways, yeah, I mean, something like that is definitely possible. Obviously, we're thinking about like trading points on Sandglass. So for those who aren't familiar, basically it would be like the YT tokens get the yield, and they would also, for protocols that have points, also get the points. And people don't know how much points are worth yet, so it's like pure speculation. And that's what results in high trading volumes. So yeah. Yeah, it's definitely something we're thinking about. Like, needless to say, because it's a huge part of Pendle's success. So, yeah. All right. Prodromo asks, what do you mean with integration with points? I'm not familiar with how Pendle is doing it. Quote unquote, points bearing tokens. Edit, you answered already. Okay, cool. Yeah, I guess I just talked about it. Okay, next question. Ipromino, regarding Pith, question number one. Did we stake our allocation of the Pith retrospective airdrop? Yes, we did. I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah, when we received it, we made an announcement on Medium, and we Pith asked us, or they asked everyone that they gave a retrospective airdrop to mention how they were planning to use it. And so we said we're planning to stake and participate in Pith governance. Yeah, there hasn't really been any governance discussions on topics that would affect us a lot yet. So, but yeah, we are staked. Question number two. There's an upcoming schedule of Pith unlock for publisher rewards. Is Lifinity eligible for this? I don't think so. I think we began looking into becoming a Pith publisher, but we haven't quite finished that process yet. Kind of crazy, like the wide variety of things that we do. Like, we have two protocols, a validator, and we're looking to publish on Pith. Maybe there's something else too. But yeah, so I don't think we're gonna be eligible for those rewards. But I believe if you're a publisher, like, rewards are ongoing, so I'm not even familiar with this upcoming schedule or this Pith unlock is. My understanding was that, like, if you're publishing, you're receiving rewards in like close to real time. But yeah, I'll have to figure that out. My understanding is lacking, obviously. Right, Norbert asks, what about converting part of the treasury, mostly MSOL, to JLP or USDC slash synthetic USD to avoid another bear market negative 90%? Let's see. I think something like that is reasonable. Either by selling or by like shorting perps. I think something like that can make sense. Yeah, it's just like it's tricky to figure out like when to do it and then to what degree to like hedge. But yeah, like I think it's somewhat of a consensus that we're at least something like halfway through this bull market, in terms of like the time, rather than like price appreciation, which I think is a lot harder to figure out. But yeah, I think something like that can make sense. I haven't thought deeply about the details of that, but I do think like right now is a pretty good time to begin talking about something like that, because you don't want to do it like when we're, you know, mega pumping like the last minute before. I mean, I guess there's no guarantee that there's going to be a blow off top, but yeah, no, it's definitely good to like think about it as early as possible. At least for like some part, like we can't sell everything, right? Because if we sell everything, then we to USDC or whatever, then like we can't market make. So like yeah, but I guess the downside of using something like perps is that you're using collateral. So like you could get liquidated. Actually, I don't know, maybe there's like places where you can use MSOL to short SOL or something. I have no idea. I rarely use perps, so maybe other people are more familiar. But yeah, I think that's something that's worthwhile to begin discussing as a DAO. I'll just say that. Otherwise, I feel like I'm embarrassing myself because I haven't thought deeply about it. Okay. Promino says, I believe the Flare DAO had deposited some USDC into Kamino, so maybe we're eligible for a bit of Kamino. Could you please confirm that later? Yes, we still have like, we originally deposited $5,000 and then we withdrew some to buy some SOL for another proposal. So we have something on the order of like 5K of USDC. So yeah, we'll get some Kamino. I will announce the number when we or when the claim becomes available in less than 24 hours. Mini Apolis says or asks, will Sandglass eventually open up to any LST that wants to be listed? I think that's doubtful because like I think there's very little demand to trade most of the LSTs. Now, I saw some tweets today where someone was saying like more DEXs should support more LSTs. And I had two reactions, although I didn't respond or anything. One was that like there's permissionless pools on a few protocols, so like you can open a pool if you want to. The second is that like you can open a pool, but like no one's going to provide liquidity, or even if someone does, like almost no one is going to trade because like between LSTs, their price divergence is like tiny, right? Because any price divergence results from a difference in yield. Like if there's two LSTs and they have the exact same yield, then their price is going to be exactly in sync, correlated 100%. So like people, all that to say, like people aren't like hopping from one LST to another. Maybe they do so like every few months when they're like, oh, the liquidity remining rewards here. Or I shouldn't say liquidity mining. The incentives for like holding this LST or whatever, for example, have kind of dried up. Even if they still exist, it's now like worthless. So I'm gonna go to this new LST that now gives a lot more. But like even that kind of thing like only happens between the major LSTs, right? Because they have a protocol token. Most LSTs do not have a protocol token. It's just a validator. And so people aren't like, oh, today I want to hold JupSol, and then tomorrow I want to hold LifSol, and then the next day I want HSol. You know, like people aren't trading this frequently. But that's what people do with other tokens, right? Like, oh, I'm gonna hold Bonk today because they just announced this thing, so it's gonna pump probably for the next 24 hours. And then I'm gonna put it into WEN because WEN is like down a lot. So I'm gonna buy it cheap and hope it goes up soon in the future. And then after it does, I'm gonna put it in Mew because now they just did this airdrop to Saga holders and it has this whole narrative. So I think that's gonna do well. And you're like people will hop between meme coins, try to, you know, time the market, right? But they don't do that with LSTs. And that's why, all that to say, LSTs tend to have very little trading volume relative to other tokens. And if it's LSTs that are for a single validator, that's even more true. One, because they have very little liquidity, and two, because they have no rewards that are external to the native staking rewards, like these big LSD protocols do, like Marinade and Soulblaze and Jito and Sanctum. So like, yeah, we could list them, but like no one's gonna trade that yield. So it'd be like a bunch of effort for almost no reward. And yeah. And like similarly for just like opening a pool on other DEXs. It's like it's just like a marketing ploy, or that's how I see it. Like it's not gonna serve anyone really. And I mean, that's what's great about Sanctum, right? They aggregate liquidity for all these tiny LSTs who, you know, can't hope to like gain a ton of liquidity by themselves. But thanks to Sanctum, you can just aggregate it all in the Sanctum pool, and then you have a bunch of liquidity. Yeah. Right. Next question is from Kalon. They ask, how's the progress with increasing Lifinity liquidity going? So our revenue the past 2 months has been quite large, our largest ever. They're both greater than $1 million. So that means we added a bunch of liquidity. And it looks like we're almost at the original target that we set, which was 0.5% price impact for trading 0.01% of the circulating supply. And we derived that goal from what we saw Radium and Orca had for their liquidity. And I checked after we added liquidity on the 25th of this month, and the price impact was 0.56%. So we're only 0.06 percentage points away from the goal. So, yeah, we could be done after one more edition. But actually, I just remembered, I'm not even sure like that proposal is even in play anymore, because there was a subsequent proposal to use half the revenue for buybacks and then use the other half to pair with bought back Liquidity to add as liquidity. And I think that was irrespective of any target. At least that's my interpretation. I know, like, I think Styx, maybe someone else was like asking about that before. And that's not how they saw it. They assumed like that target remained. We just changed the amount we were using to add for liquidity until we reached that point, and it wasn't like it wouldn't continue forever. Once we reached a goal, we would stop the liquidity additions. My understanding was that because in the proposal, like, it just said how we would use the funds. It actually didn't say anything about the previous target or anything. So my understanding was that we just keep doing the what was in the proposal, the latest proposal, and anything from the previous proposal didn't really matter anymore. I'm honestly not sure like what the community's perspective on this is as a whole. Definitely been like more people being like, I think we have enough liquidity now. But I mean, yeah, those are the people who are going to speak up, and the people who think we don't yet have enough liquidity aren't going to speak up because they're fine with the way things are now, in which we're adding more liquidity. So I don't know as a whole which side the community leans toward. Might need to do another poll or something. If people are interested, they can start a discussion in Lifinity governance. Anyways, yeah, we're making good progress on Lifinity liquidity. We have a ton of liquidity now, I think. I think we're doing quite well, which is cool to see. People can't complain anymore. Yeah, so that's good. All right. Epromino asks regarding the Jupe airdrops for Lifinity DAO. Did we claim the Zeus Banks and Catnip bribes? Let's see. Ooh. I'm trying to recall which one was the site where you claimed those? On the Jupe launchpad? Yeah, my mind is like I'm struggling to remember or differentiate in my mind between which ones were Flare DAO and which ones were Lifinity DAO. But yeah, I will check on that after this AMA for sure, just to make sure. Second question, should we vote on how to deal with each airdrop on a case-by-case basis or a generalized approach? For example, sell all to lock more Jupe. We can do a generalized approach. Like, that would be my preference. So yeah, if we are able to come to a consensus as a DAO, on a generalized approach that we like, then yeah, I think that works. But yeah, I think these, like the airdrops, are you talking about the voting rewards? Because those are coming later, right? And I think they're released like all at once. The bribes are, yeah, separate, of course. Zeus. What did Zeus, trying to recall, what did Zeus give tokens for? Because we didn't vote for them. Did they just drop more tokens to everyone who voted? Okay, yeah, Zeus was for all voters, right? Man, confusing stuff. Anyways, yeah, I'll check those later. And I am fine with a generalized approach for sure. We can do a case-by-case basis, but personally, yeah, I would prefer a generalized approach. Let's see. Mini Apolis follows up with, I asked my previous question because I'm starting a validator soon and toying with ideas around allowing people to support my validator without exposure to Soul Price. I wonder if Sandglass would unlock some of this functionality, and if so, I'd imagine other validators would be interested as well. How would you do that? Let's see. I'm not sure that's possible with Sandglass. To not have soul price exposure, you need the short soul. And you can't do that on Sandglass. So I think you need some kind of perps protocol or something. Oh, you say number one, deposit USDC in MarginFi. Number two, borrow soul. Number three, convert to LST. I see. I mean, you don't have soul exposure, but you have liquidation risk that's tied to movement in the soul price. So you're not free from the soul price. Says, yeah, you would need to auto balance LTV. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a protocol all in itself. Yeah, I wonder if there's like more optimal designs possibly. Like I don't know. Take soul, stake it, and use your staked soul as collateral to short soul. Then you just get the yield plus the funding. But I guess that would be hard to do for a custom LST or a non-major LST. Yeah, it would be cool to do with Sandglass. I just don't know like how. Sandglass lets you trade the yield. I mean, maybe if there was like some borrow lend protocol integration with PT and YT, maybe there's like some way of doing that, but I'm not sure what it is. Also, not sure if there's like, do you think there's demand for that? I feel like there's probably not much demand for it. Like what are the users getting exposure to? The yield, I guess. Is that it? They want soul yield exposure without soul price exposure? Like, I feel like that's a very niche person. Oh, yield and support of my validator. Right. I don't know, I feel like it'd be easier to just get people who have soul to stake with you and support you and that way. I don't know, like it is really competitive these days, it seems, with validators. It used to not be. But now like Helios, did I get that right? Yeah, I think Helios and Jupiter have their zero fee validators. And people are lowering their commissions, generally speaking, and sharing MEV rewards and stuff, so. And that's because, like, this stake weighted quality of service thing. So like these projects get utility just from having stake. And so like they're you know, or some of them are fine without the yield. Like they just want the stake because that lets them land transactions more reliably. So that's great for stakers because it's more yield for stakers. It's a community validator, so some perks for being a supporter. Yeah, validators are getting pretty creative. They're looking for a variety of ways to reward stakers, to attract stakers. Anyways, cool. Hope that works out. Let's see. The Promino says banks and catnip are probably gone if we didn't claim them because they were closed around 3 days ago. Okay. Yeah, I'll check if we claim those regardless. I guess we need to remind Durden more often. Yeah, if I did miss it, I apologize. Catnip. Catnip. Wait, what is catnip? Is that from Nyan? Because I think they did have a catnip token, but they didn't get voted in on LFG, so did they reward voters regardless or something? I did not hear about that, if so. Or no, catnip is the bribing platform, isn't it? That's the name of the bribing platform from banks. All right. Otto says, related to the strategy question above, love the new hire announcements. Any details you can add beyond the requirements in the postings? As in, like, what you'll be working on. We're primarily looking for people to work on Sandglass. So, you know, that'll involve opening new pools. Working on partnerships. Working on different types of pools. So like right now we have like our Oracle based ones, but if we support points, then because points have no like true price and people have to guess, that also means that we can't choose the pool price based on any Oracle. And so, and therefore it has to be free floating. And so that will work differently from our Oracle-based pools. So working on that. I think there was a couple other things that I'm forgetting right now, but yeah, those are some details, I guess. Promino says, I'm not too familiar with Sandglass yet. One, are the PT and YT fungible SBL tokens? Yes, they are. Yeah. Number two, if they are, can the PTE be used as a collateral for a lending protocol? Yes, in theory, it definitely can. It'll need to get supported, of course. And I think the main factor in whether a lending protocol will want to support it is the liquidity it has. And so yeah, like it'll take time, I think, for us to gather enough liquidity to make that a desirable proposition for lending protocols. But eventually, yeah, Pendle definitely has some integrations like that. You could also use YT in lending protocols as well. I don't think that's a thing in with Pendle, because YT approaches a value of zero as it approaches maturity. But in our model, it doesn't. So there's a good chance that YT could also be used. And that can give rise to like leverage strategies. So yeah, that'd be cool. But we'll see. Then you're quoting something. I was thinking of the possibility for PT LST margins liquid staking token to be accepted as collateral on its own platform. Oh, okay. Yeah, so MarginFi's LST token, their LST called LST. Let's see. Yeah, so yeah, definitely possible. And definitely not limited to that either, you know. It's just a coincidence that MarginFi is a lending protocol that also happens to have an LSD. But you don't need those two to be the same. But yeah, you could think that they might have a stronger incentive to support PT in that case. But on the other hand, like I think we're less incentivized to create a pool for LST unless we see like very strong demand. Because yeah, I mean, LST just has a lot less TVL than the other four, like the four major LSTs. I hope this talk of LST and LSTs isn't confusing anyone. But yeah, so like we'd have to find a good reason to open an LST pool first, I think. But yeah. Anyways, definitely possible. Prodramo says, would whale market potentially be used as a reference value for points? Oh, that's interesting. I mean, like, it's certainly possible. There's nothing stopping us from doing that, I think. But I wonder if it's a good idea, because I'm not 100% sure, but I assume like the liquidity is kind of thin, and that means that the numbers there may not be too meaningful. Even though like in the past, like I think they've done a relatively good job of pricing things. Like the values on whale market have been fairly close to the actual values in a lot of cases, if I remember correctly. So yeah, maybe. But yeah. In a sense, we might be a competitor to whale market, because like you can you're on like on Pendle, you can, that's basically what you're doing is buying and selling points, right? And that's what you do on whale market, you're buying and selling points. They just happen in different ways, but they are like the same thing. And so if we're competitors, it might not be a good idea for us to rely on whale market. It means like we would always have to wait for them to first begin trading, and then for like wait for some time for, you know, prices to find a stable-ish level, and then use that as our pricing mechanism. Like maybe it's lower risk for us, but at the, on the other hand, it means we'll get less volume. Like we're giving up the first mover advantage to them in a sense. So, yeah. Interesting thought, though. Yeah. We'll keep it in mind. Appreciate it. Lonfust asks, how often does the bid increase on Tensor for flares? Whenever we have funds to add. So that's usually monthly at the beginning of the month when the FlareDAO's revenue is converted to SOL. And then we add it. And other than that, like sometimes FlareDAO does something where they sell assets for SOL to be added for the bids. Like we did a thing like that this month. I forgot what day that was, but you can look in the Flare announcements and find the date for that. And so we added a bid based on that mid-month. So, yeah. Happens at least monthly, and then occasionally more than once a month. Next one is coming very soon. Isn't it beautiful to see such a thick floor? Never in crypto has there been such a thick floor. I actually don't know if that's true, but pretty damn thick. Like 1,300 soul, which will soon be, I don't know how much, but probably more than 1,500 at least. When the floor price is, oh yeah, and so like with our current bid, it will buy back 250 flares ish. Then that'll probably increase to more than 300. And then there's, I think there's 300 and something listed flares. So, yeah, like it's a pretty interesting dynamic. Very rare in crypto, I think. Usually if the order book is lopsided, it's usually to the downside. There's like a shit ton of sell orders or a sell wall. Lonfuse says, too bad there is no buyback this month. I mean, it all depends, right? If people are gonna dump, then it works great that we have bids. And if people buy, then we would have been better off buying ourselves. But there's no way to know which will happen, so yeah. But we do know that like I think it does make sense that bids will generally, like on average, command a better price. Like if you think that over time, like buying and selling will like even out, there's a approximately equal number of each over a long time span, which I think is like a fairly reasonable assumption, then we'll be better off just placing bids. Also because tensor points, right? And I think, you know, part of the reason that people are buying is because we have such a thick floor. So, yeah. Crip Hunter says, when NFT? Can devs do something? NFT is 2.5 years ago. Oh, by the way, we passed our second anniversary since the VEIDO. So, happy VEIDO to all of you for those who are able to participate. Thanks for joining us on the journey. The journey continues. Scorch says, any ETA on when we recruit the new Durden? Number five? Yes. So actually we found someone, and we are they're working for us on a trial basis. But it's looking promising. I think they will probably come out of the trial phase. I actually haven't interacted with them much. It's because they're just doing dev stuff that I don't touch. But so yeah, number five, my new alter ego. My new alter ego to string you guys along has arrived. Maybe one day I will introduce him to you all. We'll see. Ah, yes, classic FUD from our beloved FUD command. Be careful, though, bro. The token has terrible tokenomics. Yeah, this is probably a. I don't know if this is a podcast appropriate content. Might be hard to understand. I don't know. I don't know. Like, actually, I have no idea, like, who the people who listen to the podcast are. I wonder if they're Discord regulars or people who spend no time in Discord. I have no idea. If they spend time in Discord, then they know about the FUD bot. You guys remember that guy? It was like, Lifinity has terrible tokenomics. That prompted me to like write that whole thread, enlightening him about his confusion. But then like a month later, he posted like the same sentiment, another post. It's like, dude, post some evidence. Like maybe state some facts supporting your conclusion. Yes, Sykura. Yeah, that was interesting, eh? The pre-VEIDO FUD. What was it? What if I told you that Lifinity was a wash trading scam or something like that? Yeah. We've seen some shit. Anyways, it appears that we have exhausted the questions. Oh wait, no, we haven't. Mini Apolis says, any comments on the SaberDAO conversion to Lifinity model? I think it's great. I mean, I am leading the initiative, so needless to say, I think it's great. But I really like the Lifinity model. I wish it were. I hope it's used more throughout DeFi. I just think it makes a lot of sense. As many upsides, and I think its main downside is that the complexity of understanding it. That's really it. Like, when people understand it, I think basically everyone agrees, like, it's a great model. Like, I've basically come across no one criticizing it once they understand it. So yeah. And if more protocols use it, that creates that much more of an incentive for people to invest the time to understand it. So yeah, that'd be great. Imagine if more people understood Lifinity's tokenomics. That would be dope. Crypt Hunter, gotta go, loves. See ya. Thanks for coming. Thanks for the questions. Appreciate you. Otto says CoinGecko rant. I mean, look. It's unfortunate that they still don't support us. They are quite busy. I understand that. And I think they've just decided that they're not going to spend the time to create custom infra to support us. And so basically they are like, they want us to make an API to fetch our data. So I think no more like asking them on Twitter to support and stuff is probably not going to do anything. So yeah, I guess we need to make the API, which is a, as I love to say, a matter of priorities, because there's a lot to be done. But yeah, that is on the to-do list. Mini Apolis says, oh, did no one ask about Sandglass token, or will Sandglass value slash governance accrue to Lifinity? Also, Flare is involved in Sandglass at all? Sorry if those were asked already. Maybe not that directly, but yeah, someone kind of asked about it earlier. I'll start from the back. So Flares own a bunch of VE Lifinity. So if Lifinity gets something from Sandglass, then so will Flares. And then Sandglass was developed by using funding from the VEIDO and ongoing revenue from the DEX. So, like, it only makes sense that Lifinity would get something out of Sandglass. It's just that we haven't determined how exactly that will look. So, yeah, it's not really much to say at this point in time. And when we do figure things out, we will let you know. But needless to say, like, obviously, we're thinking about it. Yeah. Alrighty then. Well, that wasn't too bad. Not too many WEN tokens. Actually, not a single WEN token. Or maybe I should say WEN tokens, just more intelligently phrased. Anyways. Oh, J Gills, you're late. Did you miss the token? Yes. I'm sorry. Only the people in this AMA get tokens. Let's see. Oh, looks like Twitter, the app just shut off on me, so I may have yeah, the recording on Twitter may be garbage. Whoops. But I'm recording on my computer, so. Anyways, well, this one's gone pretty long. It's been a while since we had a long one. All right, so I guess I'm gonna call it. Thanks for coming, guys. A lot of good questions. This AMA. Yeah, excited for the future. Sand glass, sand glass, sand glass. All right, have a good one, guys. See you around in the chats. Peace out.